Now on radio.lds.org, the Mormon Channel presents Q&A.
Welcome to another edition of the Mormon Channel's Q&A, questions and answers. You provide us with the questions, and we do our very best to try to provide you with the answers to those questions. If you have a question for the Mormon Channel, you can send us an email, radio@ldschurch.org. We received an email that says, quote, "How can I better prepare for the second coming?" Close quote. In the New Testament, there is a parable told by the Savior known as the Parable of the Ten Virgins. In this parable, 10 virgins want to meet the bridegroom, but only 5 virgins are prepared with oil in their lamps, and therefore, only these 5 are granted the opportunity to see the bridegroom. For the others, their preparation was inadequate and too late. The bridegroom is the Savior, and the event is the prophesied second coming of the Savior to reign personally during the millennium of righteousness. We do know from the Scriptures that the second coming will occur, but we do not know the exact time of the event. Therefore, it is imperative that each of us think seriously about the question, how can I better prepare for the second coming? Elder Dallin H. Oaks in the April 2004 General Conference talks about the urgency of our preparedness.
What if the day of his coming was tomorrow? If we knew that we would meet the Lord tomorrow, through our premature death or through his unexpected coming, what would we do today? What confessions would we make? What practices would we discontinue? What accounts would we settle? What forgivenesses would we extend? What testimonies would we bear? If we would do those things then, why not now? Why not seek peace while peace can be obtained? If our lamps of preparation are drawn down, let us start immediately to replenish them. We need to make both temporal and spiritual preparation for the events prophesied at the time of the second coming. And the preparation most likely to be neglected is the one less visible and more difficult, the spiritual. A 72-hour kit of temporal supplies may prove valuable for earthly challenges. But as the foolish virgins learned to their sorrow, a 24-hour kit of spiritual preparation is of greater and more enduring value.
That's Elder Dallin H. Oaks. So what can we do to increase our spiritual preparation? We can be exactly obedient to the counsel of the prophets who have lived in our dispensation. We can study about the Savior and seek to emulate his example so that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And we can endure to the end in righteousness despite an onslaught of wickedness and abomination around us in the world. In short, as we prepare for the glorious future day when our Savior shall come to the world, it is our responsibility to be in the world, but not of the world. Elder Neil A. Maxwell said, quote, "Make your righteous marks on the world instead of being spotted by the world," close quote. In the book of Amos in the Old Testament, there is a powerful scripture that says, quote, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing save he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets," close quote. As it relates to the second coming, then we can be assured that the prophets are the ones who will give us the inspired guidance on how to prepare. The Book of Mormon shares powerful light on this topic because it is recorded in the Book of Mormon, the account of the Savior's first coming to the American continent. The Book of Mormon then becomes an instruction manual for our times as we inspect closely what happened prior to the Savior's first coming and seek to apply that to our preparation for the second coming. In the Book of Mormon, in 3 Nephi, chapter 10, verse 14, it says, quote, "And now, whoso readeth, let him understand. He that hath the Scriptures, let him search them, and see and behold if all these deaths and destructions by fire, and by smoke, and by tempest, and by whirlwinds, and by the opening of the earth to receive them, and all these things are not unto the fulfilling of the prophecies of many of the holy prophets," close quote. Thus, the words of the prophets in our dispensation can serve as a warning voice for the troubles that will befall us prior to the second coming. The prophets truly are watchmen on the tower to give us the guidance and direction that we need to be ready in every way for the second coming. What then have the prophets asked us to do to prepare for the second coming? There are many Latter-day prophets, and there are many things that each of them have asked us to do. We will listen to the last four prophets in this dispensation and choose something that they have asked us to do specifically to increase our spirituality. By listening closely to these prophets and seeking to apply their counsel now, we will surely be ready for the second coming whenever it occurs. What has President Ezra Taft Benson, who served as president of the church from 1985 to 1994, asked of each of us? One of his focuses was to make the study of the Book of Mormon a lifetime pursuit. President Ezra Taft Benson in the October 1986 General Conference teaches us to study the Book of Mormon.
Brethren and sisters, I implore you with all my heart that you consider with great solemnity the importance of the Book of Mormon to you personally and to the church collectively. Over 10 years ago, I made the following statement regarding the Book of Mormon. Do eternal consequences rest upon our response to this book? Yes, either to our blessing or our condemnation. Every Latter-day Saint should make the study of this book a lifetime pursuit. Otherwise, he is placing his soul in jeopardy and neglecting that which could give spiritual and intellectual unity to his whole life. There is a difference between a convert who is built on the rock of Christ through the Book of Mormon and stays hold of that iron rod and one who is not. I reaffirm those words to you this day. Let us not remain under condemnation with its scourge and judgment by treating lightly this great and marvelous gift the Lord has given to us. Rather, let us win the promises associated with treasuring it up in our hearts.
That's President Ezra Taft Benson. The next president of the church was Howard W. Hunter, who served a short 9 months as prophet of the church. In that short time, he gave the saints many things to focus on, among which was the making of the temple a symbol of our membership. President Howard W. Hunter in the October 1994 General Conference talks about how to make the temple a symbol of our membership.
Let us study the Master's every teaching and devote ourselves more fully to his example. He has given us all things that pertain unto life and goodness. He has called us to glory and virtue, and has given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. I believe in those exceeding great and precious promises, and I invite all within the sound of my voice to claim them. We should strive to be partakers of the divine nature. Only then may we truly hope for peace in this world and eternal life in the world to come. In that spirit, I invite the Latter-day Saints to look to the temple of the Lord as the great symbol of your membership. It is the deepest desire of my heart to have every member of the church worthy to enter the temple. It would please the Lord if every adult member would be worthy of and carry a current temple recommend, the things that we must do and not do to be worthy of a temple recommend are the very things that ensure we will be happy as individuals and as families. Let us be a temple attending people. Attend the temple as frequently as personal circumstances allow. Keep a picture of the temple in your home that your children may see it. Teach them about the purposes of the house of the Lord. Have them plan from their earliest years to remain worthy of that blessing. If proximity to a temple does not allow frequent attendance, gather in the history of your family and preserve the names for that sacred ordinance formed only in the temples. This family research is essential to the work of the temples, and blessing surely will come to those who do that work.
That's President Howard W. Hunter. President Gordon B. Hinckley, who served as the president of the church from 1995 to 2008, gave us valuable counsel on how to prepare for the second coming. He urged us to be obedient and repent. President Gordon B. Hinckley, in the October 2001 General Conference, talks about be obedient and repent.
Now, brothers and sisters, we must do our duty. Whatever that duty might be, peace may be denied for a season. Some of our liberties may be curtailed. We may be inconvenienced. We may even be called on to suffer in one way or another. But God, our eternal Father, will watch over this nation and all of the civilized world who look to Him. He has declared, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Our safety lies in repentance. Our strength comes of obedience to the commandments of God. Let us be prayerful. Let us pray for righteousness. Let us pray for the forces of good. Let us reach out to help men and women of goodwill, whatever their religious persuasion, and wherever they live. Let us stand firm against evil, both at home and abroad. Let us live worthy of the blessings of heaven, reforming our lives where necessary, and looking to Him, the Father of us all. He has said, "Be still and know that I am God." Are these perilous times? They are. But there is no need to fear. We can have peace in our hearts and peace in our homes. We can be an influence for good in this world, every one of us.
That's President Gordon B. Hinckley. To add to the words of Presidents Benson, Hunter, and Hinckley, our modern-day prophet, President Thomas S. Monson, has given us counsel that, if followed, will bring us closer to the Savior. He has truly exemplified through his life and teachings the need to serve others as Christ would. Here's President Thomas S. Monson from the October 2009 General Conference talking about service to others.
My brothers and sisters, we are surrounded by those in need of our attention, our encouragement, our support, our comfort, our kindness. Be they family members, friends, acquaintances, or strangers. We are the Lord's hands here upon the earth with a mandate to serve and to lift His children. He is dependent upon each of us.
That's President Thomas S. Monson. By following the prophets, both past and present, we will be following the Lord's will for us in our time. We can know that we are in the path of safety and peace as we prepare for the second coming. An important thing to note also is that when we follow God's word through His inspired prophets, we become like the Savior. Then, when we see Him, we'll feel comfortable in His presence. For example, if we seek to develop charity in our lives, we will recognize it in the Savior when he comes again. Moroni chapter 7, verse 48 makes this doctrinal point when Mormon says, quote, "But charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it in the last day shall be well with him. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love, which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen." So, how do we come to know the Savior Jesus Christ? By studying about him and speaking more frequently about him. Indeed, we will be more prepared to meet him whom we have studied about and whom we have a strong relationship with now. We can teach our children and others about the Savior as we come to learn about him ourselves. Elder Neil L. Anderson gave us good counsel on how to teach our children about the Savior to prepare them for the knowledge that they will need as the Savior comes again. This counsel applies equally well to all who want to know the Savior better. Here now is Elder Neil L. Anderson from the April 2010 General Conference giving us that counsel.
The stories of Jesus can be as a rushing wind across the embers of faith in the hearts of our children. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The stories of Jesus, shared over and over, bring faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and strength to the foundation of testimony. Can you think of a more valuable gift for our children? Are the life and teachings of Jesus Christ embedded in the minds and souls of our children? Do they think about the Savior's life when they wonder what to do in their own lives? Do they think about his humble birth, the Savior of the world lying in a manger? Do his circumstances help them better understand the proper place of material possessions? Do they know that Jesus often taught, "Ask and ye shall receive"? Do his prayers of thankfulness and his pleadings to his Father flow through our children's minds as they kneel in prayer with their own concerns? Have we told them of the love Jesus has for children, how he held them in his arms, prayed for them, and wept? Do our children know that Jesus stands ready with open arms to receive them? Do they take strength in the stories of Jesus fasting as we teach them the law of the fast? In their own loneliness, do our children know the loneliness the Savior felt as his friends deserted him and as he asked his apostles, "Will you too go away?" Have our children felt the power of the Savior's miracles? Jesus healed the leper, gave sight to the blind. He fed the 5,000, calmed the sea, and raised Lazarus from the dead. Do our children believe that it is by faith that miracles are wrought? And do they pray for miracles in their own lives? Have our children taken courage from the Savior's words to the ruler of the synagogue? "Be not afraid, only believe." Do our children know about his perfect life, his selfless ministry, his betrayal and cruel crucifixion? Have we testified to them of the certainty of his resurrection, of his visit to the Nephites in the Americas, of his appearance to the prophet Joseph Smith in the sacred grove? Do they anticipate his majestic return when all will be made right, and every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is the Christ? Do our children say, "Tell me the stories of Jesus. I love to hear"? To the youth and children, live up to your important responsibilities and great spiritual capacities. Seek to know more about Jesus. Open the scriptures. One idea would be to read again the book of John, and then discuss it with your parents, teachers, and each other. To fathers and mothers, grandfathers and grandmothers, and to those without children of their own who lovingly nurture children and youth, my counsel is to speak more frequently about Jesus Christ. In his holy name is great spiritual power. There is no other name given, nor any other way whereby salvation can come unto the children of men, only in and through the name of Christ.
That's Elder Neil L. Anderson. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A. If you would like to download this program and listen to it as a podcast, just go to our website, radio.lds.org. And if you have a question for the Mormon Channel, please email us at radio@ldschurch.org. We received an email with a question that asked, quote, "How can I better prepare for the second coming?" close quote. We must joyfully endure to the end of our mortal lives in righteousness in order to prepare for the second coming. We must follow the prophets and learn all we can about the Savior each day to fully prepare. We must never give up in our faith or works. Elder Robert D. Hales likened this daily process of enduring to spiritual peddling that gives us strength to meet the Savior on that glorious day of his second coming. Here now is Elder Robert D. Hales from the April 2002 General Conference.
When I was a boy, I used to ride my bicycle home from basketball practice at night. I'd connect a small pear-shaped generator to my bicycle tire. Then as I pedaled, the tire would turn a tiny rotor, which produced electricity and emitted a single welcome beam of light. It was simple but effective. A very important mechanism, but I had to pedal to make it work. I learned quickly that if I stopped pedaling my bicycle, the light would go out. I also learned that when I was anxiously engaged in pedaling, the light would become brighter and the darkness in front of me would be dispelled. The generation of spiritual light comes from daily spiritual pedaling. It comes from praying, studying the scriptures, fasting, and serving. From the living gospel and obeying the commandments. "He that keepeth his commandments receiveth truth and light," said the Lord. "And he that receiveth light and continueth in God receiveth more light, and that light groweth brighter and brighter until the perfect day." My brothers and sisters, that perfect day will be when we have the light, we can stand and be in the presence of God the Father and Jesus Christ. Sometimes people ask, "Why do I have to go to sacrament meeting? Or why do I have to live the word of wisdom and pay tithing? Why can't I have one foot in Babylon?" May I tell you why? Because spiritual peddling takes both feet. Unless you are fully engaged in living the gospel, living it with all of your heart, might, mind, and strength, you cannot generation enough spiritual light to push back the darkness.
That's Elder Robert D. Hales. The Mormon Tabernacle Choir at the April 2010 General Conference sang the song entitled, "I Wonder When He Comes Again." The angelic message of this song is the hope of every devoted heart. Truly, by following the prophets the Lord has provided in our dispensation, by studying about the Savior and sharing that knowledge with others, and by enduring faithfully to the end of our mortal lives, we will be prepared to hear the Savior say to us when he comes again, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." You've been listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A, Questions and Answers. Thank you so much for your question about how to prepare for the second coming of the Lord. If you have a question for the Mormon Channel, please email us. And if you'd like to listen to this episode, you can podcast it by going to our homepage, radio.lds.org. Thanks so much for listening to the Mormon Channel.
You've been listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A on radio.lds.org.